Welcome everyone to Oh Come On Sports with Mike and Jesse. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the Blackhawks scandal. We're going to talk about Rogers' COVID news and the weirdness that has come out of that. We'll talk about the Flames' hot start and the Knights and the Flames also being in on Jack Eichel. Congratulations to the Braves for winning the World Series and Raptors' early season thoughts. Enjoy! All right, we are back after 2 weeks, and the Atlanta Braves are World Series champions.
Great
win. They
beat
those dirty fucking cheaters in Houston.
Alex Anthopoulos gets his ring.
Yeah. Did you kind of have like a sense of like, good for you, man?
I did, yeah. Especially with the way he left the Blue Jays, and he kind of got bad-mouthed by Shapiro by saying he basically ruined the Blue Jays on his way out, but yeah. He was just going for a championship. And a lot of credit to him for the players. It's not just him for the players he brought into the Braves. There was other people before him that did a lot of work too, but I thought it was a positive thing. I was happy for him.
It was, they won the, one of the lowest winning percentages in the last 30 years to win a World Series.
Yeah, the Blue Jays and Mariners had a better record than them in the regular season even.
So maybe talk of getting rid of conferences or something is going to pop up if they go with Universal DH.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to see Freddie Freeman get a championship.
That was cool. And he hit a big bomb in the final game, too.
You know, Dansby Swanson being the Atlanta boy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, the Braves were a team that you could get behind, like a lot of likable characters, where Houston were the villains.
Of course.
Especially with how a lot of their players doubled down on being defiant from the cheating and saying like, oh, this isn't going to define us. And it's like, instead of just admitting to it.
Made it easy to dislike them.
Yes, exactly.
And that Soler home run. Oh my God. That thing.
Yes.
Like when I heard that, I think they said it was like 440 some feet or whatever, but that seems short. Like when you watch that thing go, you're like, that's 500 feet.
Yeah, he crushed it.
And it just disappeared into the night. Like, you didn't even see it land. It just disappeared into the blackness.
And I think the craziest thing out of all this is the score ran a simulation in MLB The Show 21. And MLB The Show 21 correctly picked the Braves to beat the Astros in the World Series.
Oh, so it's all predetermined. That makes sense.
I've just never seen that. Usually when they do run those video game simulations, it's always some like... Like, even when I read the column about it, and I'm like, the Braves, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm like, God, The Show, what a stupid game. Well, obviously.
Also, they did it without their Cy Young pitcher in Soroka.
Yes. So yeah. I mean, it was with updated rosters. Soroka was not there. Yeah. And who's their big offensive guy? Why can't I remember his name?
Like Albies or?
Yes.
Yeah, Ozzie Albies.
No, not Ozzie Albies. The other one. The outfielder.
Acuna.
Acuna, yes. Yeah. Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's off, and...
That's right.
You know, they still won, so...
Even more impressive.
Congratulations to them.
I was happy for them. It was one of those ones that I was tuned in periodically throughout the whole thing, and it was exciting, but with so much going on right now, I had a hard time sitting down and watching every game, which I feel terrible for, because it's the best baseball of the whole season.
Yes.
But when it bleeds into November, I'm just kind of an outside observer.
Yeah. All right, let's transition to the big news of the day. Aaron Rodgers has COVID.
And he misled us. And that son of a bitch. That hippie motherfucker misled us this whole time.
With the goddamn long hair, said he was immunized. We thought he meant vaccinated. Goddamn that Aaron Rodgers.
So, honestly, I'm not bothered by this. But I will ask you, as a Packer diehard, does this bother you that he's going to miss the next game? And has the potential to miss next week as well, if he's not...
Because if he was vaccinated and he was positive for COVID and sick, he still could miss 2 weeks.
Right, yeah.
Right, like...
But the NFL makes it harder on guys that are not vaccinated.
But that's the rules they all agreed to, as the NFL PA. What's curious to me... Like, I'm excited to see Jordan Love in action.
Yeah.
Facing the Chiefs. Not a great... It's not like you're facing like the worst team in the NFL. You're facing a team that's had their struggles and they're looking to get right.
So and a defense that can be had right now. Yeah, like you can get some points on them.
This should be an interesting game. I think it's going to go one of two ways. Either Jordan Love is going to get into a shootout with Mahomes, and I still think the Chiefs will probably win the game because it's in Kansas City. or Jordan Love's going to play like absolute trash and the Chiefs are just going to roll us.
Yeah.
I think there's only two outcomes to this game.
You know what's funny too? I think after the last Chiefs game against the Giants where they won by 3 points, I think they almost come away from that game feeling like they lost.
Yep.
Because of the fact they did not look good during it. You know, guys like Travis Kelce was invisible. I mean, like, as far as a pass-catching option goes, he was playing a hard game and doing blocking and whatnot, but he was basically invisible. Tyreek Hill had a touchdown, but they're kind of, they don't exactly know what to do with the running back, although Darrell Williams was good for them, but they also brought in Derek Gore, and he had some time, too. So I think the Chiefs are reeling a little bit here. Not that they can't get it together, not that they can't be them same old selves, but right now they are struggling. And I think it's basically to do with Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the one that's struggling out of everyone.
He's pushing. He's pushy. He's trying to score 14 points instead of 7 every time he goes out.
Yeah.
So with Rodgers.
Yeah. Sorry, I derailed it.
This makes me chuckle a little bit. So the media's framing it that he misled.
Mm-hmm.
He misled them. And I think, like, I call, yeah, he probably did mislead you because he did say immunized. He didn't say vaccinated. You took that as vaccinated.
Yeah.
But he did. I'm thinking, and of the articles I've read, because I've been following this story all day because I'm trying to glean information and everything, the NFL had to know he was unvaccinated.
Yeah.
Right? The NFL knew.
Totally.
Now, the questions that... So he didn't mislead the NFL.
No.
He didn't mislead his team.
No.
He misled the media.
Yeah.
So, and the media's butthurt about it because they want to know everything. And it's like, well... If you were, like, why didn't you question, like, what do you mean by immunized? Because it's come out that he has gone to his personal doctor and looked for more homeopathic remedies to combat COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as the vilified anti-vaxxers are, mm-hmm. where they're just against it and not doing anything about it. Like, from the reports, he was searching for other methods to protect himself against it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I have to say about that. So the media, I think, is kind of like blowing that part out of proportion, the misled part.
Yeah.
Where I'm curious is because what's come out now is that the Packers are being investigated for breach of COVID protocols. Like, they're not doing their job of doing the protocols they are supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pointing to evidence of Rodgers being in 3 preseason games in street clothes without a mask.
Right.
Now, I have not read a timeline, so I could be behind the eight ball here, but Rodgers petitioned the NFL to say, hey, I'm doing this. Does that count as a vaccinated status? The NFL came back and told him no. Right. My question is, what's the timeline of that? Was that done before the season? Was that done during preseason?
Mm-hmm.
Was that done before the regular season? What's the time of that? Because they're saying, like, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, they're just trying to fuck everybody and Rodgers just running around without a mask, coughing on people. Like,
I saw him spit in a dude's mouth.
Yeah. Like, ridiculousness. Like, it's just so funny. And in the same day, Saquon Barkley's on the COVID list, and nobody says anything, but he's vaccinated. Reports have come out that Rodgers has been following the unvaccinated protocols all season. He's been wearing a mask in team facility. He's been doing everything that an unvaccinated player is supposed to do. So my question is, when did the NFL come down and say, no, what you're doing is we technically cannot classify as a vaccinated status because it's a homeopathic remedy? And... like, how does that play into this investigation?
Right.
And the media being misled. Yeah, Rodgers doesn't like you. That's why you were misled. He doesn't like you.
And honestly, if you were... if you listen to... Aaron Rodgers is out there a lot right now, right? Especially this year, right?
Yeah.
He does basically an hour interview every week on the Pat McAfee show.
That's going to be interesting come next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that's going to be it because he'll be on there.
Yeah.
And you know, Pat will get him to talk a little bit here. So that's going to be interesting talk.
For sure. They're buddies, but it's not like McAfee, throws him a bunch of softballs the whole time. He will ask stuff that people want to know. So that could be interesting. But if you were misled by him, I mean, I'm sorry, that's on you, because you only have to listen to this guy talk for a few minutes to realize his stance on something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty... pretty outward right now in what he's feeling. So if you didn't realize that, that's probably on you, because it's pretty obvious by listening to him talk the way he feels about those things. So I'm sorry if the media's butthurt. I couldn't care less. And great that he's wearing a mask around the facility or whatever, but what does it matter anyway? Because whether you're wearing a mask or not, you can still transfer the virus. You can still get the virus whether you're vaccinated or not. So I'm good that he is following those rules, but like, that was one of the big takeaways I heard from a lot of media members, is that he was doing this, he was at the podium and he didn't wear a mask up to the podium and blah blah blah. But what does it matter if the people around him that are worried about it are vaccinated? Then they're fine,
and they're like 6 to 8 feet back of the podium. They're not right up against the podium. So what, like, that seems like a weird thing to be like, oh, he's right there, he's breaking protocol. Okay, sure, I guess in that case, if that is the protocol, but like, don't sit there and like, you're acting like he is unvaccinated, as in he has done nothing to prevent COVID. In his belief, I got vaccinated. But in his belief, he wants to go a more natural way to combat COVID. He's not saying, I am not putting anything in my body. He's done different things.
Right.
Why, like, we're sitting there, this is apples and oranges, but we're getting the NFL players were prescribed opioids, basically, to combat pain. And now they're trying to push for a more natural substance in marijuana. So what's wrong with Rodgers saying, I don't want to put the shot in my body, I'm going to actually go to a doctor and look at different remedies to combat COVID, which is what the reports say he did.
Well, because
like, that is a different case than somebody just arguing and saying, no, I don't want to put this in my body, like Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Where he's saying, no, I'm just not going to do it.
But I'll play the devil's advocate on that one. So what people are going to say is, homeopathic remedies, there is no proof that actually does anything to help the situation. So they're saying he does not care about the health of others, because what they're going to say is that the vaccine is what you need to get, and anything else is not sufficient.
Okay.
So that's their take on
that. That's their take. Yeah. But what the fly in the ointment with that is that reports have come out that he has followed the unvaccinated protocols the entire season.
Okay. So what's the problem?
So what's the problem? Yeah. Right? So problem number one is the media feels lied to.
Yeah.
That's problem number one. Wow. Where they could have asked the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, like, didn't I read a report that like 99% of the NFL is vaccinated? It's a very small contingent that is not vaccinated.
I would have thought they would have been more. I thought there was more in the NFL than any other league.
I would have to go back and look, but I am almost 100% certain that at one point in August, there was reports that the Packers were 100% vaccinated. So at some point in August, Rodgers' status was considered a vaccinated status.
Well, I thought the wording on the report that I saw today was really funny. They said Rodgers is considered unvaccinated.
Yes.
Why do you word it like that? Either he is or he isn't.
Because he's going for homeopathic. The reason the NFL won't consider that is because they don't want lawsuits, right? That's part of the thing. They're like, the only way you're vaccinated is if you get the shot. It's very black and white. Point A, point B, that's it.
But it is black and white. That's my point. Why are they saying he's considered unvaccinated? Why don't they just say he's unvaccinated?
Yeah, he was doing homeopathic whatever, but the NFL, he's on the unvaccinated list. Like, easy like that. But to say considered, it muddies the
waters. That's what I'm saying. They don't need to muddy the waters. Because I don't personally think that they should have to be vaccinated. That's my personal belief. But the way they reported this is silly, because they're like, he's considered unvaccinated. Well, he's unvaccinated. Just say that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're mad because he misled them. I'm air quoting that. And I think it's the funniest part. And everyone's like, he lied to us and all this stuff. He don't owe you shit.
Well, yeah.
Like these players don't owe you anything.
They really don't.
Are you telling me like those in the can answers you get after the games are true answers?
Well, and plus all these media members now, they're just trying to get gotcha moments with these players, right? Yeah. So they're out to get the players. They're not friends. Like, I remember Eric Dehatchek, who's a Hall of Fame writer based out of Calgary here in the hockey world. He talked about how the media has changed now, where players don't trust them. Back in the days, like when he was covering the Flames in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, these players would go for drinks with the media. And they would have fun. It was almost like the media was part of the team. Now, did that affect how certain media members would cover the team? Possibly. But what he's saying now is that none of these players trust the media, so it's always going to be that battle.
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, to play devil's advocate on my own point, he used his own personal doctor. He could have searched out somebody that was going to follow his belief system, right? Like, it's, you know, like, it might not be, like, his original doctor. It could be a different doctor. Yeah. I do understand that. But according to reports, it was a doctor. It wasn't some, like witch doctor or something. Like, it's an actual practicing with a degree medical professional. So,
well,
like,
despite what you would be led to believe if you watched the news, there are doctors out there who actually don't think the vaccine is the only way to go about this. I know that's not a popular opinion if you watch most news, but there's scientists out there who don't believe in the vaccine, and there's also doctors out there who don't believe in the vaccine. I'm not saying what's right. I'm not saying what's wrong. I don't know, but there's both.
But it's fact. There are people out there. There are professionals out there that are doctors and scientists that don't believe in it.
And you can't say trust the science. That's a cop-out. Because trusting the science, it actually doesn't mean anything when you say that. Because
science is all about disproving theories.
And plus, you can get scientists to say one thing, or you can get them to say the other thing. It's just like, it's like medical professionals. You can get, like Pfizer has admitted now, because they paid out a huge sum of money, you can get doctors to recommend stuff to patients that they don't need. Mm-hmm. Pfizer paid out the biggest lawsuit in medical history. They paid out billions of dollars because they were bribing doctors to recommend Lyrica to patients that didn't need it.
There you go.
So both doctors, scientists, pharmaceutical companies, they can all be had. They can all lie. So I don't think it's just cut and dry that because Pfizer has this and Moderna has this, that's the way to go. Yeah. I know that if you're listening to the news and everything, that's what they lead you to believe. I don't necessarily agree. And I don't necessarily think that what Rogers is doing, maybe it's going to help, maybe it's not. I don't... Homeopathic is... it's up in the air, right? Some things work, some things don't.
Yeah.
So I'm not convinced that what he's doing is going to work, but I also don't think that professional athletes... honestly, I don't think they should have to be vaccinated.
And the other thing, too, is, like, with especially with professional athletes, they're so careful about what they put in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest... Rogers has always been an independent thinker. He's always like
That's also why people hate him.
Yeah, and he's always marched to the beat of his own drum. People hate him for that and everything. And like when I read the report today, I'm like, is anybody surprised he was looking for like a different way? Like, because I'm not surprised. That seems like his MO.
That's my biggest takeaway, is that how shocked people are that he's not vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think this guy is? Have you not been following him?
I'm curious. I don't actually know, but I'm curious if Brady's vaccinated just because of how fanatical he is about things that go into his body.
He's also more, shall we say, on the right-wing spectrum of the political spectrum, Brady is. That's weird to say it that way, because that's not necessarily true. People can have opinions on both sides, but I'm just making an assumption based on the fact that Trump or that Brady was a Trump supporter, that type of stuff. I would, if I had to guess, I would also say Brady's unvaccinated.
So it'd be curious. And the I keep on coming back to, it's not, according to reports, it's not like Rogers didn't say fuck it, I'm not going to do it. Like, he was looking for other ways to protect himself and protect the people. Mm-hmm. And sadly, it didn't work. He's positive for COVID. There's other people in the Packers organization that have COVID. Like,
but it
happens to vaccinated players.
That's Saquon the thing. That's the point.
Barkley was on the list. There's been Davante Adams was vaccinated.
That's the point. It doesn't matter what he does. He is still susceptible to getting it and passing it on.
Yeah.
As is everybody. That's the main takeaway for me.
No, the main takeaway is the media was misled, Mike.
Well,
they were misled. Poor media.
Poor media.
Good thing you guys got a 24-hour news cycle out of this one, guys. No, you'll get 10 days worth, because we're going to hear about this all the way until fucking November 13th when he's eligible to come off the COVID list.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is a Saturday. So if he can get off the list on Saturday right before the game, he'll play.
And they're talking like, oh, he may not be able to play. Like Rodgers needs fucking practice time. He's been in that system for fucking ever. He doesn't need practice time.
As long as he's medically cleared, he will play.
Oh my goodness!
And they're in a good spot. They're not in any jeopardy.
Yeah, it's not like they're
missing
the
playoffs.
They're 500 or something, and they need these wins. They have built up a nice cushion within their division that hopefully they can withstand this possible 2-game absence. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. 10 days of that dirty Rodgers.
They're going to get so much play out of this. They're going to be writing articles about how he's the worst person in the world.
And then they're going to wonder why he doesn't talk to them.
Yeah,
they're
going to
be like, you know, Rodgers just doesn't open up. Well, because you guys are pricks.
It was interesting that I was going to go somewhere with that, and I totally lost my train of thought, so you can go ahead.
All right. Shall we just transition to the other big news of the last?
I was going to talk about the fact that this is, we're crushing some media here right now, but I'm about to talk glowingly about a member of the media in the next story.
All right. Blackhawks scandal. Video coach Brad Aldrich was accused of sexual assault of an unnamed player, and Aldrich pled guilty to criminal sexual conduct with a minor while volunteering as a coach in a Michigan high school. Former team president John McDonough, GM Stan Bowman, who resigned, VP of hockey op Al McIsaac, who also resigned, former VP of business operations Jay Blank, former mental skills coach James Gary, and former assistant GM Kevin Shevildayoff, and former head coach Joel Quenneville, had a meeting during the 2010 Western Conference Finals where it was brought up that the unnamed player at this time, which turned out to be Kyle Beach, came forward and said, "Listen, like the video coach, he assaulted me, mm-hmm. sexually assaulted me," and the brain trust there decided that in the pursuit of a Stanley Cup. It is the best thing to do to leave this on the back burner until after,
mm-hmm.
which is just the fucking worst thing.
And ever. They didn't leave it on the back burner. They tried to bury it.
They really did.
Yeah,
they really did. They tried to bury it.
They left it on the back burner and then brought it back up, that would be one thing. But yes, they tried to bury it
after the Cup win, which is about 3 weeks later. Aldrich's alleged misconduct was brought to HR's attention, where he got to resign, got a severance, a playoff bonus, his name engraved on the cup, which has since been X'd out,
yep.
and a personal day with the cup, and allowed to attend the banner ceremony.
Wow.
This, reading about this whole thing was just, it just shows that how awful the system and the leadership let Kyle Beach down.
Totally.
Because I kept on coming back to, I was like, first off, the idiots online, or not even the idiots online, people in the organization saying, how can a 150-pound guy sexually assault a 220-pound man? It's called a power dynamic. Read a fucking book.
I understand. Yeah, I get it. That's what I was wondering about too. And then that's the big thing. That's the big takeaway for me. That's the criminal part of that, is that he held the power against Beach, and that's where this all happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
How the fuck you're in the middle of a West, like, so it's not, there's not just one video coach on an NHL roster. There's multiple. There's the head guy plus his assistants. Right. How do you not fire this fucking guy right off the hop? His assistants could do the job for the next 3 weeks.
They totally dropped the ball.
Your systems are in place. What the fuck are you saying? You can't do this. Oh my God.
That drives me crazy, especially as you and me both have young boys now. So it hits home a little bit, you know, more specific when you think about that. And that's the biggest thing, is how many people let this young man down to the point where it, you know, it's, we compare, like, something like this in a sense is, it's killing you inside in a way, right? Like, it's not murder. You're not murdering someone, but you're essentially changing their lives in a way that they can't recover from because of that type of trauma. Mm-hmm. So it's in a way, it's like they are killing you.
And then what's come out of this is that then the NHL, like, now they want to do the investigation. It was Rick Westhead that broke the story.
That's the one
And Katie Strang, both of them were on it.
Yeah.
Great work. Great fucking work from these two, breaking this story. What bothered me, listening to Quen, like, First off, Quenneville coaching after all this broke was like one of the most tone-deaf things ever. Like, just fucking back off the bench. And then he ends up resigning. Well, no shit, because you should have done something. You were the head coach. Shovel day off. Everyone coming out and saying, like, oh, I feel really bad for him, but the system let him down. Like, stop passing the fucking buck and take the fucking blame. And the players. You're telling me Jonathan Toews didn't know what the fuck was going on in that room?
Mm-hmm.
There is no way. No way. Especially when Beach has come out and said that players that used to play on the team have played him in other leagues and, like, skated around and made lewd remarks about that happening.
Jesus.
And it's like, so they knew.
Yeah.
Nobody did a fucking thing.
You know who I heard?
Not one fucking person did a thing for this guy.
You know who I heard did try to stand up and say something, and I don't know where it went?
It was the strength and conditioning coach.
And Nick Boynton.
Yeah.
Former NHLer Nick Boynton.
Yeah.
Apparently tried to do something about this. Where it ended up, who knows?
Well, it just stopped at because they needed to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Because they needed that fucking video coach to win a goddamn Stanley Cup. Are you kidding me?
What a disaster.
Like, his fucking assistants could have done the job. Just awful.
And it doesn't matter if they couldn't do the job. That's not a reason to keep somebody around who's done something like that.
Exactly. Exactly. So then the NHL fines the Blackhawks $2 million. Do you know how much that team is worth?
I'm going to assume it's hundreds of millions, if not in the billions.
It's $1.085 billion.
There you go.
Okay? So then I did some math. I'm a math guy. I like to crunch numbers. And I said, fuck, $2 million and your team is worth like over $1 billion? Like, that seems low.
That sounds like chump change, pocket change.
So if you were making $60,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
That would be fine. That would be like getting fined $120.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah. And then Bettman comes out and basically does his typical non-speak and non, like, whatever the fuck he does, and basically says, like, we feel like this is a detriment, like a deterrent enough for the future. This is not a deterrent for fucking shit.
This shows that you can basically get away with it.
Yeah.
And Bettman's message, I understand when Bettman speaks, he's basically a lawyer speaking. So I get that that's how he operates and he stays on message and he's a professional orator and all that stuff. That's fine. But that's the thing that drives me crazy is that his message is basically coming off as we don't care.
Yeah.
We're upset that this was brought to light.
Yes,
basically.
That's exactly it. We're not upset that this happened to this player. We're upset that it got out.
Yeah.
And how do we make this go away? And even the owner, like you had alluded to, tried to make it go away. He directed his legal team to try to reach a settlement with Beach and the former Michigan high school player. Yeah, wow. That will make justice.
Yeah, yeah. Give him some money and make him shut up.
Make him shut up and go away. You want to make a fucking example, NHL? This is what you do. You give them the fucking death penalty. You find them like fucking $50 million or whatever it is. You take away draft picks
on top of that.
Especially this year because they suck.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fucking draft for 3 years. You also, everyone else's salary cap is $85 million. Your salary cap's $50 million. Fuck you guys.
Sewer that, I agree. Sewer that franchise for the next 10 to 20 years.
Exactly.
Just to show.
Just to prove a point. And show that any team that allows any kind of improper conduct to happen, this is the kind of shit that can happen to you.
And that was the other message that I really didn't like that Bettman was trying to send, is he said, this is a message to all the other teams to make sure you handle this stuff properly. To me, that sounded like you make sure you keep this internal,
yes,
and you make sure you handle this without it getting out. That's what it sounded like to me. Yes. I could be wrong, but that's what I heard.
What should have been said is we are going to set up an impartial third party that does not work for the NHL, or we're going to hire a firm that their sole fucking job is when these things happen is to investigate. The team doesn't get to investigate themselves. Mm-hmm. The NHL doesn't get to investigate. None of that shit. This third party that is not beholden to any entity within the NHL can do this.
This reminds me of the FBI over the course of the last 20 years has been accused of selling a lot of drugs into America.
Yeah.
And the FBI said, you know what? We're going to investigate this. And everyone's like, oh, you didn't find anything about your own guys selling drugs into America?
That's very strange. That's very strange.
Shocking.
Just all kinds of bullshit. With how the NHL handled it, how the Blackhawks handled it, there should have been a death penalty put on this team, and the fact that there wasn't is wrong.
It's sad. And I hope that Kyle Beach has is feeling like there's a I hope that he's feeling like there's a bit of a weight lifted off his shoulders by coming out and doing the interview and talking about this. And I hope he can go on to live a good life.
And to the people that say, like, why did it take him 10 years to come out? Because he's dealing with fucking trauma, man.
Yeah, that's
there's no linear path to healing.
No.
You know, like, he's got to, oh my God. You read, I got to stop reading Twitter comments because they make me so goddamn
They're the worst.
Because it just shows how low our society can get.
Mm-hmm.
And
some people are just trying to be low like that too. Like, with Twitter and social media comments are the worst because you get that both of those extremes where people will, you know, they'll blame the victim. They'll say, oh, it came out 10 years after. How can he do that? Or, oh, he's a professional athlete. How could he have not stopped this guy from doing what he did? And that's all that victim blaming is bullshit.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But yeah, you agree they should have thrown the death penalty at
totally,
these guys.
Totally. Yeah. And you know me. Like, you know the way I am. I always, anyone that's accused like that, I always want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Oftentimes I think it's manipulated into a way that the media spins it. On this one, I don't think that at all. I think he was totally wronged in this whole thing. I think they didn't do nearly enough to the Blackhawks on this. Like, not nearly enough. That's ridiculous what they're gonna have to do for this. So I definitely don't think they took it seriously enough at all.
All right, well, let's transition to some lighter topics because that was two heavy topics right off the top. How about Scotty Barnes with the Raptors, buddy?
Oh, he's looking good. Man. He's looking good. The Raptors took a lot of heat in this draft.
They really did.
For not taking Jalen Suggs. And based on the first, you know, few games of this season, they made the right call. And not that Jalen Suggs is bad at all, but I just think he's the perfect fit.
Out of the top four picks, so Cade Cunningham took a while to debut with Detroit because he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't looked great since debuting. Mm-hmm. Evan Mobley's looked great with Cleveland.
With Cleveland, yeah.
And then Scotty Barnes mm-hmm. has looked dynamite. Or Jalen Green went next, sorry.
Right.
And he's looked okay with Houston.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes has looked great. And then Suggs has not looked... He's been okay with the Magic.
Yeah, he's a developing player is what Suggs looks like.
But Barnes looks like the... It's exactly what Masai Ujiri said that they were looking for.
Yeah.
They want a certain type of player that can play basically positionless basketball. And Scotty Barnes seems to fit in with that perfectly.
They rarely have a guy on the floor that is below 6'7" in height. Like, basically never at this point.
You can't teach size.
Yeah. And even to, oh my God, his name's escaping me right now. Danton, I believe, the Canadian they drafted out of Nebraska. He's a point guard. He's 6'9" as well.
Yeah.
Like, all they are going for these long, lengthy, positionless basketball players.
Except Fred VanVleet.
Fred VanVleet's still there, but he's a dog. Everyone loves him.
Yeah, you can't get rid of him.
Gary Trent might be the next shortest guy on the team, and he's like 6'5" or 6'6".
Raptors would play pretty well to start the year.
Especially with the transition from the team that they were to this one now. People expected, or I think a lot of fans expected a big downturn in their winning percentage. And so far, they're competing. Not saying that they're going to have a successful season or even make the playoffs for that matter, although I think they can. But I just think that this is it's so much fun to watch too. And he Scotty Barnes brings an energy, right? He brings such an energy to the floor. He's talking all the time. He seems like a really good teammate. So I'm loving it so far. That play the other day where he grabbed the rebound and took three dribbles to get from his own free throw line to dunk at the other end of the court was just, that was LeBron and Giannis like.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's great to see Ananobi's playing phenomenal. Have you watched much of Ananobi
so
far? Would you remember when I said that I wouldn't trade Ananobi for Ben Simmons?
I did, and I questioned it.
Yeah, do you think?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I wouldn't trade him either because...
He's becoming such a well-rounded player.
And I also think Ben Simmons is going to be as rusty as all hell by the time he finally gets going.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say what I just thought of one thing with the back to that Blackhawks scandal, and I'll let it drop.
Yeah.
The NHL has done more to teams that like the Coyotes with the draft process and their illegal draft workouts.
Yeah.
And they've also done more to teams that have circumvented the cap than they did to the Blackhawks that hit a sexual assault.
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up because that needs to be said as well, too. It also just another way that the NHL totally fucked this up.
All right. NHL, the Flames. So
hot start for the boys.
You've been listening to this podcast for a while. We are in Calgary. We're born and raised here.
We got Daryl on the TV right now.
We got Daryl on the TV, yeah. And after the first two games, it was feeling like, well, this feels about right. The Oilers, like the Edmonton McDavid's kicking the shit out of us,
yeah,
and then blowing a lead to Anaheim and losing an OT. I was like, well, this season's gonna go about the way we figured it was gonna go,
and we've been pleasantly surprised.
And then, like, I forgot how good Sutter was with teams that had, like, with possession.
Systems, yeah.
With systems, because the Kings were very good. They always possessed the puck. The problem was they couldn't score a lot of times, but they possessed the puck really well. And this Flames team is doing a really good job of possessing the puck. When you have the puck, generally it doesn't go in the back of your net.
Yeah.
They're 6-1-2 on the season. First place in the Pacific.
That Flyers game the other night, the Flyers had 5 shots on goal at the end of the first period, I believe. Like, they are just... And the funny thing, too, is when you hear that, you think, oh, they're trapping it up, they're clogging up the neutral zone, it sounds boring. The games aren't boring, either.
The Flames games now are actually a lot... they're more fun to watch than I can remember in, I want to say, the last 10 years. Even when they won the division, was it the conference that they won? I can't remember.
A couple years ago, yeah.
A couple years ago, and then they lost to Colorado.
Yeah.
They still weren't a fun team to watch.
No, not at all.
Yeah. This is a fun team to watch. I also love that Monahan and Gaudreau have been split up.
Just perfect.
Sutter doesn't suffer no fools, man. He's just like, he's like, no, this isn't working. We're doing this.
Yeah, he's not out here saying that they need to keep the band together because of feelings or anything that.
It has nothing to do with feelings. We're trying to win hockey games here.
Yeah.
And so far through 9 games, it's worked. And it's crazy, too, because news came out today that the Golden Knights and the Calgary Flames are the front runners for Jack Eichel. And when's the last time you heard the Flames as a front runner in a trade?
I'm going to have to go back a long, long way.
I think the last time... I never heard of them as the front runner in a trade. I've heard them as the... having a good trade piece to move, like a Theo Fleury,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, they can pull pieces here and there. They make the odd move, but no one's ever considered them a front runner.
Emily Kaplan with ESPN reported that, and now there's different reports saying like the Knights have had like a little bit closer to acquiring than the Flames are, but it seems like the Flames and the Knights are the last two. The Knights, this seems like their MO. You know, go get stars. That's their thing.
That's what they've been doing since they...
And I love watching it because be aggressive, do your thing. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Nothing's come out of what the Knights' offer is, but there's been a offer reported by Kevin Weeks of what the Flames' offer could be.
Yeah. And what they are saying is, for some reason I can't find Kevin Weeks on Twitter. but what they're saying is basically a deal would center around Matthew Tkachuk, an upcoming first round pick, a previous first round pick. So let's say Valimaki.
Yeah, I would think Valimaki because it can't. I can't see it being Monahan or Backlund.
No.
Right?
Like, no, they're talking like a recent first round pick that still has the potential to do something.
So it's
got to
be Valimaki.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then also
two prospects.
So, you know, pick or choose.
Connor Zary and Peltier, maybe that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we had discussed this, I think, 2 weeks ago, that Tkachuk was the piece that could get something in return. Also, a little nugget that came out of this is that the Knights and the Flames are fine with Eichel getting his preferred method of surgery.
And I think that would basically have to be part of any deal if you're going to be getting this guy. You're not going to get him and then have a fight with him the way Buffalo's having it right now.
Which I'm glad. The player should decide how. Like, as long as he's talked to medical professionals and that... The players should have a say
in
a invasive surgery into their fucking spine.
It wouldn't be a good move for the Flames to acquire him and then be like, we actually agree with your whole team regarding the procedure.
About that surgery. Yeah, not going the way you want it to, buddy. So, the question is, knowing that that's the offer, and we don't know the Knights' offer.
No.
But if Buffalo calls them up and says, you guys won the sweepstakes, do you pull the trigger? Now, there could be more pieces coming back with Eichel.
Sure.
That was not said.
Yeah.
I would think there may be like a pick or two coming back, lower picks, maybe a prospect. Like it might be a bigger deal.
Yeah. So what I, and the other question too, just to add a little bit more to your question is, are you okay taking a big piece off the Flames roster right now after their hot start and not being able to add that key component back until months later or maybe next year after Eichel has a surgery and goes through everything?
If it were me, yes.
Yeah.
And the reason is Mangiapane and Dubé have played really well, and you could kind of manipulate the lines and get them up and down the roster. I think it can work. You can make it work for this season.
Yeah.
The chance to land a number one center. Nothing against Lindholm. He's played awesome.
But man, would he be a great number two center?
Right. Yeah. And then suddenly Backlund's back to your number three.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly everything, like your whole. Something they say on every sports radio ever, slotting. It's all about slotting.
Yeah.
And
Backlund is the best. I'm not going to say this because I don't know definitively. I would say he's basically one of the best third line centers in the league.
Yes.
If you have him down there, your team is very good.
Exactly.
Lindholm is becoming one of the top centers in the league, period, as far as his overall game goes. And if you make him your number two, Jack Eichel your number one, man, you got a hell of a team.
Exactly. And I like Gaudreau. Having Eichel, does this give Gaudreau more
incentive
to sign? Another thing that's come out is that I think you alluded to this last time too, Brady Tkachuk's contract negotiations were quite contentious.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Flames think with Matthew Tkachuk it's going to get nasty?
It will.
Do they want to even deal with it?
Right.
Like, why not, like, are they thinking, like, if we get rid of Tkachuk, we get Eichel and cost certainty for the next 7 years or whatever however long his contract is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And so to give my answer, I'm kind of on the same page as you. I would do it. One of the main reasons I would do it, and I know we have a lot of Buffalo listeners here, so hopefully Kevin Adams isn't listening to this, but my opinion on Tkachuk is falling quickly. Ever since he got the puck flipped at him at the end of the game against Toronto last year, I can't remember who it was, Bogosian or Boychuk or something.
No, it was
McDermott.
No, it was the dude from LA. What the hell? The defenseman. Mullen? No.
Muzzin.
Jake Muzzin.
Yeah. Okay. So as soon as that happened last year, in my personal opinion, he quit on the team. For a long time.
Yeah.
And I think he tried to bring it back later. But he couldn't.
Yeah.
But to me, I saw that as he straight up quit on the team. And he would argue that he had a valid reason to. I'm kind of more on Johnny Gaudreau's side on this, where I say, not everything is a fight, man.
Yeah.
You lost that game. It's the end of the game. Someone lightly flipped a puck at you. I know your feelings were hurt. Let it go, man.
Yep.
You don't need to fight there.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. And I have, that's a lot of these great players have this chip on their shoulder constantly. And it's not a bad thing necessarily, but it does wear on teams. It's very Marcus Stroman-esque, if you want to take a baseball comparison, where they have a shit-burning oven inside them where they need that negativeness to become good.
It works when you're winning.
Yeah.
Teams will allow that to happen if you're winning. Once you start losing or things don't go your way and you're still being a little shithead,
yeah,
teams tire of you quick.
Totally. And I love a good fight. I think
Brad Marchand is in Boston still because they keep on winning.
Yeah.
If Boston wasn't winning, Brad Marchand would not be there.
Totally.
And they would have tired of his bullshit.
And you got guys in that room, despite the fact that he acts out at times. You had Chara at that time. You had Patrice Bergeron. You had guys that kept him in check, saying,
yeah,
you know what? You're doing this, but you better like keep it play. Play yeah. the way we want you to play.
Yeah.
They don't love the fact you're licking dudes and all this shit, but they like bring it back so you can be here when we need you to. So, yeah, I'm the same. I'm losing. I don't think Matthew Tkachuk is going to get better than he is right now,
yes,
quite frankly. I think he scored, when he first came into the league, I think he scored at a rate that is not attainable for himself, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Matthew Tkachuk we see right now is what he is.
I think he's peaked.
Yeah.
I think he's peaked. I don't think he can take his offensive game to a next level. I think defensively he can stand to improve as every player can.
And he can mature and be a better leader,
offensively,
too.
Offensively, I don't think so.
Me neither.
Where Eichel... Yeah, you just...
I think his brother...
A number one center, man.
Totally.
The Flames have been searching for that since, what, Joe Nieuwendyk?
Yeah, exactly. And they thought Monahan was the guy. Turns out Monahan's not the guy. Not his fault, but just not the guy.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I know that's a huge package to give up. It's so funny. After I saw the Kevin Weeks tweet, I went through the comments as well, which is a no-no. And you wouldn't believe the people in Buffalo, that are saying that's not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. And people in Calgary are going like, oh my God, like, how could we give up
so
that much? That's so much.
It's just fan bases, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You overvalue your own.
Yeah.
And you undervalue the others, right? Mm-hmm. And in a way, the Buffalo, like, saying that's not enough, they're probably right.
Yeah.
They're probably right. But how long does Buffalo want to hold on to this? And this sounds bad, but this asset.
That's how they're viewing it, so it's not wrong to say that.
You know,
that.
And risk, contentious negotiations. Like, yeah. Isn't it better sometimes just to get... Just to get the guy, he's not even in the room right now because he's been hurt, but like...
But move on from
just
it.
Just move on from it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's just better just to be like, okay, we're going to cut ties now. We got a pretty good package here. It's not like the knockdown, drag out best package we've seen.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good package and it can set us up for future success down the road.
I thought Kevin Weeks did the Flames a favor in that tweet where he said, he basically made it sound like the Flames were giving up a ton. And then he called Matthew Tkachuk a future captain of a team.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think Calgary would have a lot of qualms about that being the case.
Yeah.
Because they've seen, they know who he is. And they know how he is to deal with. They know how his dad is to deal with as far as negotiations go. Keith Tkachuk was paid $8.3 million per season in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Man. Like, that's good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him. But he's a tough negotiator.
Yeah, exactly. And he wasn't, you know, like, he was a good player. He's a good goal scorer.
He was good, but he wasn't $8.3 million
at that time.
And you know what?
I think that's more than Jaromír Jagr money, to be honest.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It was. And he was playing for Phoenix at the time. He just raked him over the coals because he was a big name. Him and Jeremy Roenick both got, or he got paid more than Jeremy Roenick when they were both on that team. And Jeremy Roenick was a far better player. So, yeah, it was interesting. And I know, of all the players, I see Brady, who does have offensive upside. I see him developing into a really good player with a lot of offensive upside. I don't see Matthew Tkachuk becoming any better than he is right now on the offensive side of the game.
And teams build, it's in the middle. That's the power dynamic.
Yeah.
Center, D, goalie.
That helps. That goes in all kinds of sports.
Wings are replaceable.
Yeah,
it sounds bad, but wingers are replaceable. Centers are not.
It's like in baseball: catcher, pitcher, shortstop, center field.
Yep, exactly.
Man up in the middle. Get some studs in the middle, and you'll be good.
Well, I guess we'll see in 2 weeks when we reconvene if we got Eichel on the team. That'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting. I look forward.
We'll have to go get our jerseys.
Yeah.
He'll have to choose a new number. Lanny's not going to give up number 9.
Lanny's going to come out in a ceremony, bring his number down from the raft. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
He's not.
Please don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
Please don't do that.
He can have 19.
There. Oh, jeez. Bye, Matthew. We're taking your number.
There you go.
All right, everyone. Have a good 2 weeks, and we will be back at that time.
See you in a couple weeks.